Hey, this is Stu Dead from Play Dead. You're listening to Stereo Dynamite Podcast.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Hey, it's episode number 002 of the official Stereo Dynamite Podcast. My name is Adam Sewell. It is Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. Lovely day outside. Not much to complain about. Usually I'm pretty grumpy and cranky towards the end of January during these incredibly long Toronto winters. But feeling pretty good today. Had a good cup of coffee. Feeling okay. Let's get right to this. This is an interview I did, I guess, about a week ago with Stu Dead from Play Dead. If you live in Toronto or the 905 areas or anywhere around here, chances are that you have definitely seen Play Dead Cult t-shirts. You've seen Stu's artwork at the Bovine. You've seen it at Shanghai Cowgirl. You've seen it at, you know, clubs all over the city. You've seen the guys in Billy Talent wearing their shirts. You've seen the guys, you know, in a million different bands all, you know, wearing the Play Dead Cult clothing. You've probably, you know, seen his stuff all over people's phones, the gel skins that are on iPhones and Androids, etc., etc. His artwork really is everywhere. And amazingly enough, you know, the Play Dead brand has only really been around just over 10 years, going full time. And it's amazing to see how far wide, worldwide, his art has spread. Stu's a really good guy, great guy to hang out with. You know, interviewing him was more just sort of a casual hang in the new Play Dead store, which is over at Queen Street West at Roncesvalles, in sort of the old school, you know, west end of Parkdale, antique store area. Really cool area for him to be in, a little bit different. Usually, the Play Dead stores have been in, you know, Kensington Market or sort of the hipster end of Parkdale or up at, you know, Bathurst and College near Sneaky D's. So this is kind of neat to see the new store and the new locale, and to see how it's, you know, Play Dead has become more about visual arts, large scale art pieces rather than just the focus on t-shirts. So anyways, sat down, like I said, about a week ago, had a great talk, and I think this is sort of a cool conversation to have. It was nice to talk to somebody about something other than music for a bit. But to see how the journey of you know, sort of Play Dead as a brand and Stu as an artist, very much similar to sort of the journey of, you know, some musicians and some bands. So anyways, I hope you enjoy the official Stereo Dynamite Podcast number 002 with Stu Dead from Play Dead Cult. From Play Dead? Play Dead. Stu at Play Dead. Oh, and that reminds me. Check out Play Dead Cult. .com. PlayDeadCult.com. Stu Dead from Play Dead at PlayDeadCult.com. Okay, enjoy. So here we are. We're in the new Play Dead shop.
Yes.
Which is Queen Street and Roncesvalles.
Yeah.
What's the address here?
1696 Queen Street West.
The place looks fantastic.
Thanks, buddy.
Looks great. This is Play Dead Shop number 4, 5. Nice. How are you liking it here?
It's my favorite, by far. It's everything I needed in a shop. It's not too big. Good location, Queen Street. We have a nice window. People can actually see us and find us. It's our easiest location to get to.
And you've got the silk screen set up again.
Yeah, we have, and everything's all in one. Like, we had all our productions in-house. We have a hairstylist in here, too. It's more of a chiller. You can chill out more without getting wet or painted on.
Is it a bit more of a nicer hangout spot?
Yes, way nicer hangout spot.
Cool. And how's it working out having the hairdressing salon?
Oh, it's great, because, you know, there's new customers that would never ever come in here all of a sudden being forced to hang out and look at the stuff. And
that's great.
So it's we're turning them one at a time.
Cool. Has now the stuff that you've got in the store here, is there anything that's different from the other stores that you've had before?
More art now. Like it's a lot of the focus is like kind of between like more one-of-a-kind pieces of art to, and then all the t-shirts and screen printed and the dresses. So it's like, and furniture. I've been doing a lot more furniture stuff.
Okay.
So like people bringing me in like a coffee, like this table that we're working on now. Someone brings me, can you paint this? And yeah.
It's a lot more custom jobs.
Yeah, a lot more custom stuff, like guitars to drum sets. The weirdest stuff is, I don't know, a big wheel. I did a big kid's old 80s.
That's amazing.
Wheel. Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Was it a big wheel or a green machine?
It was a big wheel.
Do you remember the green machines?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Lovely. What year did you start Playdead?
1999.
Now, what's weird is when I first heard about Playdead was actually from people from, I think, like Burlington.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like that, I had a big crowd of Burlington and like Mississauga people always following us. I guess bands like we associated with a lot of bands like in skateboarding because we started off as doing skateboards, and I guess Burlington has the park, like one of the bigger parks.
There. Sure. Yeah.
So that's where it really started kids skating and tagging that park.
But where were you from originally, though?
I'm from Toronto.
Okay.
Like, I'm a Jane and Finch kid.
Nice.
So, and then moved to Rexdale. That's where I went to school, in Rexdale area. And then, I don't know how we ended up in Burlington. It's the only place where they had skate parks, pretty much. So we'd drive there and hang out.
Because it seemed like it was sort of the, not really the West 49 crowd, but sort of the more punk rock.
Yeah, like a lot of the band, like more punky bands were coming out, like Monine.
Yeah.
And I was playing with Monine at the time too a while. So like, and you always got forced to go into Brampton in that area. So yeah, it was weird. You're from Toronto traveling all the way there in the middle of nowhere. For me, it was the middle of nowhere.
Which is kind
of
strange because mostly it's those bands traveling into Toronto.
Yeah, so you're always going over there.
And you were doing, I guess you'd be doing a lot of sort of all ages church basement shows or rec center shows and stuff?
I never got to do a show with them because I left right before we were starting because it was like, this is not really, I'm not straight edge. I'm not vegetarian, vegan. And
I see.
So it just, I was the odd man out in that band. It was fun, but it was not for me.
Cool.
And I was doing the Playdead stuff, so I was like, let's focus on that.
Because it seemed like you kind of, you know, between, you know, around 2002 to 2005, it just seems like, you know, sort of the Playdead thing kind of exploded and sort of seemed like it was everywhere all of a sudden.
Yeah, that was just weird because, like, what happened is, like, a lot of the bands you grew up with or just friends all started becoming bigger. Like, you know, Billy Talent blew up, and they always wore our stuff. Like, bands like All American Rejects, My Chemical Romance, all those bands that you kind of knew wear your stuff, and all of a sudden they're wearing it everywhere.
Was the goal to create a fashion line, or was the goal just to do artwork?
Honestly,
originally?
I don't know. I
just kind of went with it.
I just kind of went with everything. That's why as where we stand now, everything's more clear. Like, oh, this is what I want to do. In those years, you're just going with the flow, right? Oh, people want t-shirts? Cool. Like, I could make a t-shirt. Like, and you just roll with it. Never really thought of anything, what you wanted to go or what direction you wanted to take it.
Did that ever change? Like, was there ever a point where you kind of said, okay, we're just
Oh, yeah. Now it's like, now, especially in the last year, I took a break. Like, between the Kensington shop and here, we took a big break and said, like, I sat down and said, okay, what do I want to do? Like, we're, because, you know, all our customers are, that's like almost 20 years now have gone by. And everyone's different. Like, what, and, you know, Facebook and all that came out. We still have no web presence. Which is,
do you need it?
I don't know.
Well, do you think that you need it?
Yes, we do need it, but I don't care for it, really.
What?
It's just one more thing I have to do.
Well, what part is it you don't care about? just a pain in the ass having to...
It's just boring. Like, sitting in front of a computer and updating stuff. And, like, I'm a hands-on person. Like, working with my hands, getting dirty. Like, when you're done all that, you're tired. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you got to do your web stuff. You got to take a picture for Instagram and kind of make it sound better than what it is. Sometimes my thumb's in the shot, so it's like completely covers.
But this guy, kind of a human element to it, though.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like, and you don't get the full aspect of it, too. Like, you don't get how much work went into it. All you see is this picture that's done.
Sort of the end result.
Yeah, so it's like you didn't see that took 2 months or...
It is kind of cool coming in here where you actually kind of see
where everything is. Yeah.
See the, you know, the process and see the,
yeah, like the online it's hard to like show that, like how much stuff gets actually done. They just see a picture like, oh cool, next.
Could you not make little videos though, like little sort of video diaries of making stuff and put that online?
Thought of that. I got a GoPro sitting around there, just
sitting somewhere back there.
Just yeah, it's sitting there, collecting dust.
Right.
It's a whole other lifestyle now. Like, we grew up with, I came in from an age where you didn't do that. Like, someone else came in and did it. Now you have to do it yourself. But then I'd rather just keep creating art and focusing what works for me. Like, right now, we're trying to do screen printing posters. Like, that's our bread and butter, and t-shirts. Art, like the one-of-a-kind art, really doesn't... I don't care to sell them, because like no one really wants to pay what the time, you know. Like, I'll give you $100 for that. I'm like, okay, spent 4 months on it, that's fair. So we just do prints, but people can afford a $60 hand screen print, limited edition,
signed rather than the actual original piece.
So the originals aren't, you know, they're just fun to do.
Well, it seems, I mean, when I was down in L.A. last year, I spent a couple of weeks where I had some time to go through different galleries and sort of toy stores and sort of adult toy store.
Yeah, yeah.
Like adult, by adult
kid,
toys, I
kid
mean.
Kid robots and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it really is obvious, though, that people would rather buy the prints rather than the originals.
And now the prints are still one of a kind because they're signed and they're limited edition too, right? So that's pretty much where we're going, pushing to. And also I'm doing more like film stuff. Like, I just did a bunch of stuff like Guillermo del Toro for The Strain. A lot of art directing. So like now there's more of a focus, for me at least, for Playdead. Like now it's like, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm kind of a one-trick pony. So like I'd rather just stick to that. I don't want to go off.
You've got your thing.
Yeah, this is what I'm good at. I'm going to stick to it. Like if it means... I don't have a web presence, that's fine. Like,
how was it working on The Strain?
Weird, because they just send you stuff like, hey, they'll send you weird pictures. It's very vague. Like, can you make us a metal wall yay big for tomorrow? Okay. And they don't really ask questions. I guess once they see what you do and they like it, they trust you. I never got to meet Del Toro, though.
But
one day.
It's not a bad name to drop.
No, it was cool when I got that. I thought it was a joke. Like, oh, he likes your stuff. Like, cool.
Is that an indication, though, that... I mean, The Strain is a Canadian production, though, right?
It's an American production. They just shot it all here.
Okay.
With all...
But is that not a great sort of indication, though, that the Playdead art and brand has sort of reached internationally?
And that's how we found it, right? Like, his people and himself, like, he went to... a shop where someone owns a painting of mine, and he just like, okay, I want that guy.
Whoever, that's fantastic.
Whoever did that is the guy I wanted. It's like he's Toronto based. Here he is.
That's great.
Yeah, and then they show up at your door and like, hey,
how you doing?
Yeah, we'll give you some money.
Cool. Nice.
I'm good. Let's go.
That last part's the best part.
It's the best. You do it by tomorrow. Sure.
Sure, as long as the check clears.
Depends how many figures are in there.
Nice. Yep.
Okay.
Have you got any other projects like that on the go?
Well, my band stuff. We're doing a lot of my band stuff. Like, I do a lot of work with Peter. He's from Sweden. A lot of videos, like art directing videos and building weird sets. Just, those are more fun projects, so you never get paid for those, you know.
Why not?
Because it's your own band.
Oh, I see. Stuff for yourself.
Right. And when you do other bands, it's like you want everything to be cool. So like the budget's this much, but
It's music. There's never a budget
anymore. But you still want it to look cool. So you just work way more than you have to,
right,
to make a 30-minute, like what, 3-minute video look kind of cool.
Yeah,
budget.
Yeah, it's not a great time for.
No,
for that type of stuff.
That's why when it's your own band, you don't mind doing it. Like, I don't mind spending 20 hours decorating a shed before you only see it a minute.
Now, in the past couple of years, though, you've started doing like restaurants and bars and sort of more interior. Is it like fully interior design or?
Yeah, fully interior design, like concepts. Like, I just did a bar and a hair salon. Basically, like I said, it's back to that one trick pony. Like, this is what I know I'm good at. Like, so when people ask me to do that, they know what they're getting. So it's actually easier for both of us. Like, they just fully trust me. Like, can you design a bar? Just make it the way you do it.
Right.
Which is cool. Like, I've had other people come up to me, like, we want a bar, but make it look like this. I'm like, well, that's not going to, like, then get that guy.
That's out of your, it's not your, in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I'm going to just keep, I've been learning that for 20 years. Just stick with what you're good at.
Right.
And stop trying to go chase the buck kind of thing.
Are there other things that you do want to try doing?
Yeah. And those are like my hobbies. That's what I do in my spare time, not in my play dead time.
Like, so you're cool separating the two things.
Yeah.
You're not trying to shoehorn anything into the play dead brand.
No more shoehorning. Just this is how it is. And I love the way it's. And ever since I started developing that like mentality, everything moves forward, further and faster. Like, you just get better at doing what you do.
Is it a matter of just now that you know exactly what the parameters are, it's easier to focus?
Yes. It's easier to focus and improve, right? And get faster at what you do and get better at it. It's kind of like, this is what you do. It's like kind of like gymnastics or anything. Once you know how to do a cartwheel, you don't stop learning how to, or a weightlifter, you don't stop lifting weights once you reach your goal. Like,
right,
you just get better at it.
Has there been anything that you've tried with the Playdead brand that didn't work? That was some sort of epic, you know,
like what?
Fail. I don't know.
Oh God. Like, I consider like 80% of the things I've tried has failed. Like, pretty much 20% of the things that what makes it work is from out of 80% of fuck-ups.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, like, just doing stupid things. But you don't... That's how you learn, right? Like, you got to try things. It's like, oh, either it did work or you just don't want to do it. Like, we used to do merch for other bands. Like, yeah, I made a lot of money, but you're like, this sucks. It's boring. Like, it just...
takes up a lot of your time.
Takes up all your time. And... just moderation, like what makes you happy? Like we were talking before, like, yeah, you can make a lot of money, but you know, what do you spend it on?
Right.
If you're constantly working or you're just bored. Now I'd rather just be busy doing what I like instead of making a lot of money. Eventually this should make me money. It does. It's okay.
Well, you've been at this
15 years.
15 years, and mm-hmm. It's I mean, we're sitting here in the in the store. It's pretty full on, and it's
in
for
the
real.
Studio. Yeah, it's more like you figure out this is what I like doing, this is what I don't like doing, where my time is going, what makes me happy, and creating, and just developing a brand that's people recognize it from far away is kind of really the goal. Like, and I don't have to do whatever and not question what I do. Like, this is what you get.
Right.
Take it or leave it.
I mean, it is,
if you don't like it, there's a billion other artists that, you know, well.
You know, so we were talking earlier about, you know, sort of going through Instagram, and you and I both follow, a number of artists.
Yeah.
And, we were talking about how it's great. Sometimes you'll see a piece of art, but you don't know who did it because there's sort of, no matter how cool it is, there still sort of falls into this generic thing of this could be one of 100 artists did this. There's you sort of, there isn't really that sense of personal identity in the art, Whereas, I mean, you see anything that's play dead and you know right away that it's play dead, even if it doesn't have, you know, play dead written on it. You just know it's that it's yours.
And that's kind of like, that's how we were talking before. Like now it's just like, and it gets better, it gets more and more recognizable the more I work on it, direct, like just focus on what I do and get better at it. And also, it's I'm out there more now. Like now it's like, I could do prints. Prints are the best, like screen prints. Like now, instead of selling an original for $2,000-$3,000, I'd rather sell 1,000 prints at $10.
Right.
That means 1,000 people are spreading what you do, right? Instead of one person, one in his house that no one sees.
Have you done many sort of just very traditional art show installations?
I've never done an art show.
Really?
Like, never done an art show in a gallery or nothing. It's not
my
thing.
But you did do something at, not the Bovine.
Yeah, like I'll do like restaurants.
Yeah.
Like those are my favorite to do because like people like, there's, like art shows, I just find it's too, I don't know, it's just so sterile. Like at least at a restaurant,
where there's a hive of activity happening.
Yeah, and I'm background, so they're not really, they're eating, and then oh, that's cool. They're not judging. They're not even judging. They're just like, they like it. They like it. They don't know who I am, and if they do like it, they'll find out who I am.
Art galleries drive me fucking nuts.
They're boring. It's like I'd rather go to the dentist,
right?
Than do an art show.
I will be honest with you. You know, my son is very involved with art galleries, and he's right into it, and he's involved with some really amazing stuff. But I always feel so uncomfortable when I'm in art. I feel like I'm being judged
for being
by other people just for being there.
Exactly.
But the stuff that he's done that I always thought was great was when they would do more of these sort of art show loft parties.
Those are the best ones because it's so weird that when you think of the art gallery, you're like, it's such a sterile environment and you're selling art. Like, art's supposed to be create. Like how is that? It's two different things. You're like,
I think it's one of those things where the traditional art gallery, which is really set up just to sell to art investors.
Yeah.
I think that the traditional art gallery hasn't kept up with the times, and they're still stuck in this original sort of business model dynamic. Whereas, you know, now seeing sort of, again, like whether it's the loft parties or it's the restaurants or those cafes, those types of environments, that's really where, you know, the exciting stuff is happening. And
but it's also, that's also another platform where, like, it's people that aren't, really don't care for that environment of like that art. They're not art buyers. Like we don't hear, we like art, the cafes and stuff. They're people that I like that. I don't care if the guy's famous or nothing. I like it. I want to buy it.
Like the store now, the way you've got it set up, there's a great energy just when you come in. There's a great warmth to it.
Yeah.
There's nothing sterile about the environment at all.
It's very homey.
It's very homey. There's people hanging out.
Yeah.
There's a nice couch.
Nice couch. Ugly, nice, comfy couch.
But this is you know, a nice sort of welcoming environment to come in and you know, look at art and see the pieces and buy them or you know, buy them or get prints or what have you or talk to you about custom pieces.
Or just learn about what we do, right? Because like in this area, like I don't know, Ronsonsville is a different area for us. It's very strollers. Yuppies.
I mean, we should say this. I mean, technically, this is more Roncesvalles than Parkdale.
No one's really telling you where we're technically still Parkdale, but Parkdale people don't think we're Parkdale.
Right where we are here, which is sort of in the traditional Roncesvalles antique stores.
Yes, we're in the antique section.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. Kinda,
it's neat to see you in this section of town.
It really fits for us though, because it is part like that's and. Again, I do a lot of film stuff, so a lot of the film people always are in this area, renting from the antique places, so they're always stopping here anyway, so it makes their job easier, because now they're just coming straight to me. But like the environment we're trying to get, it's just also like we're also rebranding, not rebranding, we're just introducing ourselves as, this is what it is, take it or leave it. If you don't like it, it's fine. Like, you don't, there's, like I said, go to the the next place. If you like it, cool. There's t-shirts to prints. There's every from $1,000 to $10, the range.
Right.
Where you can, it's for something for everyone.
Have you had many sort of the younger kids who might have hung out at the Bathurst store or the or
they're
know,
all
any
like,
of the older locations? Are any of them now making the trip down into to this area?
Some of them do. Like mostly the Bathurst store, like a lot of them are older now, so they do their kids come, which is kind of weird. Like they have like 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and we're gonna start doing art programs here for kids.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We are in Roncesville, which is baby stroller central, and a lot of the parents buy our stuff. So like,
Roncesville reminds me a lot of the Annex a long time ago. Long time when I was growing up.
The Annex was
very family friendly.
Honestez was such a big influence on my art career too, because like all their signs were hand painted.
Right.
And I loved the way the numbers looked and how they drew. And I was like, you're just thinking that, like, I miss that sale. When it's like, man, that's like part of my early learning how to do art. Do you remember the Sinisters?
Yeah, of course.
They're a band that changed my life, like, in career-wise, like, art. Like, the posters. Well, you know, when you're, like, 15, 12 years old, I used to see Sinister posters and, like, collect all of them because the art was amazing. And then finally meeting him, you know, 20 years later, like, Troy, who did them all, is like, dude, you're the reason Playdead exists. Because, like, I used to steal all your fucking posters and try to mimic your drawings.
Oh, that's
amazing.
And
he was always before Tim Burton. Like, his stuff was way before Tim Burton was even around. With the Sinisters, that sketchy look. Right?
Sketchy look.
Sketchy, like. And then watching the Sinisters, a whole other world of craziness too when you're 16.
With that, did you ever, when you were younger, was that sort of like you would go to the Bovine to see them play?
No, the Bovine wasn't around.
Oh,
yet.
Sorry, I get the Alma Combo.
Yeah. Alma Combo. I've seen them a bunch of times. They rarely did all ages shows.
Right.
I think they did like two when I saw them, and then the last ones I would have to sneak in. But I was also 18, so I had a fake Boca Raton ID. The only bar I never worked at is Rock and Roll Heaven.
Yeah, I can see.
I've never stepped foot in that place. Get out of here with your fake ID.
That was the craziest thing about Toronto. Then, you know, it was worth rolling the dice.
Who has a fake ID now?
Oh, I've
can you get one now?
Yeah, you can get them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not down the street on Yonge Street.
You know, Scooter.
Yeah.
Scooter's got an incredible collection of fake IDs that he's confiscated from kids.
Really?
He does. I think he's actually got like a Facebook photo album that's just all bad fake IDs.
Oh, mine was terrible. I was from Boca Raton. And like, yeah. Troy Sinister, like, the Sinisters were like a big part of the Queen Street like look for Playdead.
Did you at any time were you doing artwork for other bands, like doing album designs or t-shirt designs?
No, it was just for myself, like just drawing on skateboards and guitars and drums, and like I think I was like 16. And then, you know,
never did anything for Billy Talent?
Not till like later. Like I only did t-shirt designs. Like Ian does all, like the Saw does all the design for their band. I just did a t-shirt design and a few posters, but nothing really. For
was it
band.
You had no interest in doing that stuff, or just?
It was more like if people back then, if people asked me to do something, I'll do it. I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. And like only bands that asked me were like Finch used to ask me all the time, All American Rejects. So anyone who asked, like, yeah, sure, I'll do your designs. And then a bunch of bands that no one knows.
Like, and that was the best work, though.
Yeah, it's always the best one. Oh, cool, you did 10 and no one ever sees it.
Right.
Yeah. It's cool when you see your stuff in Valley Village now that are like really old stuff.
Are you buying up the stuff from Valley Village to resell it?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's shirts that like... Because, like, a lot of times we do, like, 4 or 5 designs to try them out, and then we never do it again. Or you just...
You're sort of glad to see it go?
Yeah, not that, or you just forget, and then you do 10 other designs that whatever... Like, you're always scatterbrained, very scatterbrained. So, like, you know, you draw 30 designs and print them all, and then, oh, fuck it, I'll just draw another one and never So no one really gets to see the whole spectrum, right?
You know, it's like I can remember, you know, every now and then, it'll come up once or twice a year, somebody will say to me, oh, dude, I saw one of your old CDs in a used store for a buck. You know, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Why? That's amazing.
This is fucking great. I'm like, who else was in the band? Well, U2 and Pop Elite itself and, you know, Massive Attack and, you know, Rattle. I'm like, well, that's so what's awesome. There to be sorry about? I don't give a fuck. And, it's got to be kind of cool that if you can actually end up in a Value Village here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where your shirt is next to a Nirvana shirt and next to a fucking Winger shirt, right?
I would still wear a Winger shirt, though. Just like, because like I was a big fan of Beavis and Butthead.
Nice.
Stewart, he wore a Winger shirt.
but to get to the point, though, where, you know, your stuff has is out there in such volume.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And reached so many people that it's actually, you know, sort of, you know, mixed in with these other things that are so great.
And here's the cool part of that, like, When I do find them, the shirts are beat to shit. Like they're like,
so they've been worn.
Yeah, and that's what it's cool. Like it'd be weird if you see it with the tag still. That's lame. Or like, you see your CD is like, okay, this one's
never been played.
Yeah, or it's got the little store nick on it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Where they got it for free, but like when you see it, it's like, oh fuck, someone actually played this. You know. Yeah, the shirts are always just destroyed. You're like, oh man, this is just a rag now.
But that's great, though.
It's awesome. Yeah.
What's next for you for 2015? Is there anything that you're
more licensing on? Like now getting into more licensing. The Jealous Skins, they've been doing really well.
So those are all legit, the ones that we're seeing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like they're awesome. They do really well, and they also push you into new, like people find you in different places like never heard of you, right? Because they push, you know, Germany's really big for me for that, Japan, and like places I have no access to. Right, and again, I'm not a web set. We have no web presence, so it's like people just don't really stumble upon you. Like people in Toronto can stumble upon us, but unless, yeah, people stumble on the, well, now it's called New Van Gogh, which is a different, yeah, they changed the whole branding, so it's a little different. But yeah, for 2015, trying to finish this movie that we're, me and Peter from Electric Playground, we're working on.
What's that all about?
Just ideas we've been running. Just kind of always like, yeah, let's start working on that. Let's do a crazy horror movie that no one would watch because it's gross. And but it's more fun for us. Yeah, it's just more fun projects. Like those, how you're saying it, those are what keep me busy and excited about just life, you know? Like this is my job, what I do, so I still need a hobby.
Right.
Like, I still go home and want to do something other than work. Something, you know, I love my job, but I still want to, you know, collect stamps or I don't know what else, other hobbies you do.
Right.
Like, yeah, so those things are like my hobbies, like working with Peter. The band is like a hobby, you know, just make noise. And our new record's coming out hopefully this year.
Are you actually going to tour on this or?
If it happens, it happens. If it not, it doesn't matter.
You're just having fun doing it, though.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're just, yeah, just run. Pretty much we get to do whatever we want, you know? Like, yeah, I'm getting a bunch of new synths this week, and they're very unpredictable, not really easy to control or play, but they'll be on the record.
Cool.
How you do it live? It'll sound different all the time, right? Pretty much there's no real guidelines on anything anymore, even with the art. Just like, if I want to do it, I'll do it. No one tells you what to do anymore.
Right.
It's like, it works fine.
Nice. Well, it's a good place to be, though.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it takes you a long time, though. It took me 15 years of, like I said before, like, oh, that was a stupid investment. There goes 50 grand down the toilet you'll be paying for the next 6 years.
Right.
Or, ooh, that was a bad idea, moving out of that place. Like, moving out of the Bathurst store was a bad idea. But at the time, it didn't seem like a bad idea. Moving into Parkdale was, you know, surrounded by crackheads, flooding basement.
Not so good.
Not so good. yeah, you just live and learn, right?
I hear you.
It's just the goal is really just keep going, as long as you don't stop doing it. Like, I don't know what I would do. I got a job last year for 2 months.
Doing what?
I worked at Spin Master.
What's that?
It's a toy place, toy company.
Doing what?
I don't know. Sitting there wasting time. Really, like, because I get all my work done fast. Because you work. When you work for yourself, you always get your shit done, and then you leave on to the next project. But no, you got to sit there for 8 hours. But I get my job done in an hour, then, well, look busy. I'm like, okay. I didn't last too long. And then I opened the shop.
Right.
I'm like, I thought, oh, maybe try a job. I was like, yeah. So.
Well, I think you're doing what you should be doing now.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Cool. I don't like people telling me what to do.
Well, hey, thank you for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it. And congratulations on the shop. And
thanks.
And all the best for 2015.
All right, buddy. We'll see you around.
Thank you, Stu.
Thanks, Adam.